Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll have Corey Curtis coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and their win against the Raiders yesterday. We'll get into a little Tennessee and Florida coming up at 7:30 as well. Big-time win for Tennessee over the weekend at Neyland Stadium. Right now, taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. I got some tickets to give away to see the Blue Raiders coming off a big win down in Miami. MTSU taking on UTSA this Friday night at Floyd Stadium. Be caller number 5, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a pair of tickets to see the Blue Raiders take on UTSA coming up this Friday night at Floyd Stadium. Kevin Byard getting his jersey retired that night as well. So, going to be a big night coming up at Floyd Stadium. 615-737-1025. Devin from Dover on the text line says, can we talk about how little Jeff is doing? Absolutely nothing. He spent more time on the ground than he did in the backfield, referring to Jeffrey Simmons. Have you noticed a drop-off or some poor play from Jeffrey Simmons as of late? He didn't do much in the Buffalo game, for sure.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, I guess he's not as – I mean, look, he's doubled all the time, but we know that's going to happen anyway, right? So, I thought – yeah, it was interesting. There was one big play yesterday, a big stop for the Titans, where actually Weaver, who I think had just gotten a sack, was doubled, and Autry and Simmons both were in Carr's face immediately. I mean, Simmons still made a handful – of plays yesterday where he's just in their backfield causing a problem. But I suppose, you know, you're always looking for more from him. You're talking about a guy people talking about as the second best D tag on the league and dominant player. And so you want to see some louder games from him, some Rams-like games last year from him. I don't think right now I would qualify him as an issue or a problem.
So we talked about the offense in the first half yesterday. Overall, what did you make of the day from Derrick Henry? 20 carries, 85 yards, and a touchdown on the day. Also, another 58 yards through the air in the passing game as well. So from a yardage total, pretty good day from Derrick Henry with total yards. What did you make overall of the way that he played, the way that he looked, the offensive line, everything that goes into what we've discussed with Derrick Henry through the first 2 weeks of the season? How did you evaluate what you saw from him yesterday?
I think it was the best. Take the numbers away, it was definitely the best blocking he got. But between the two running in, catching the ball, he ends up with 143 total yards from scrimmage. And I thought he looked as explosive and powerful and good as he has all year. I mean, I think it was a very encouraging sign, you know, for him. I was certain at halftime. I was certain like he's about to have about 140 yard day. The fact that he didn't, I mean, that's concerning. You know, they couldn't sustain drives. They had no offense. They've been outscored 57-7 in the second half. All these things, but just Derrick Henry, I thought he looked good. I thought he looked really good, and that's a good sign. I mean, I think keep working on the run game operation, and get him running like that, I think you're going to have some successful weeks.
Oh, I thought he looked good. You know, I thought it was good that they involved him in the passing game. I mean, I'm still waiting for that Derrick Henry wheel route. Maybe we'll get that at some point this year, but not quite there yet. But looked good in the passing game. I mean, it's pretty clear, and we've talked about this before, that he's worked really hard to get better in that area, and I think he has gotten better in that area. But running the ball, I mean, I thought he looked like Derrick Henry to me. And like you said, the blocking I thought was better, especially in the first half. Now, there were some times in the second half where he got stacked up a few times, and the one third and one, it is kind of amazing to go back and watch the replay of that. I'm counting. There's seven Raiders
no
in the
one
backfield.
Was, yeah, no one was blocked.
There's literally seven guys in the backfield. That's a tough one. But, you know, you're going to have that happen sometimes. But I thought overall yesterday was a really encouraging day. Like we talked about, you know, not necessarily feeling all that different about the Titans in terms of their big picture moving forward. One thing I do feel good about coming out of yesterday's game was that looked to me more like Derrick Henry. And, you know, it's not going to go down in the stat book as, you know, one of his best games that he's ever played or anything like that. And I'm not saying it was, but I just thought he looked really good. He looked very solid out there. And that's encouraging as you start to get into, you know, what I'm going to refer to as Colts month coming up, seeing him twice here in the next month. That's big. You're going to need Derrick Henry in those games. And I thought it was very encouraging yesterday in the first half, especially that he looked the way he looked. Now, the second half is, whether it's him, it's Tannehill, it's Todd Downing, it's whoever, it's Vrabel, whoever you want to put on there, like, the offense as a whole has got to get something going in the second half. Like, three games in a row of marching into halftime and then coming out and basically giving you nothing offensively is not sustainable. Like, you're just not going to have a good season if that's the way it goes. But that's probably towards the top of the list of what my takeaways are from yesterday in terms of really encouraging things moving forward was I thought Derrick Henry looked pretty darn good.
Yeah. No, I agree. And, again, I think Tannehill, you take a couple plays out of there, I thought he was good too. Understanding that if you're Ryan Tannehill going to that game yesterday, I mean, you know the situation. You got Dennis Daly protecting your blind side, and you got Chandler Jones, a guy who you probably still have Chandler Jones PTSD from a year ago, coming at you on that side. And then you have Max Crosby on the other side. So Tannehill knows the situation, and you can't tell me that that doesn't affect you mentally. Like, it's in your brain somewhere. And it's not like he had these clean pockets all day long. He got okay protection, but he stood in and made a lot of good passes. I thought it was a good day for both of those guys.
Well, he threw one over the middle to Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, and I want to say it was in the second half, that was just an absolute dart. I mean, just a dart from Tannehill yesterday. Fitted into, I think there were three guys kind of collapsing around NWI, and it's just a great throw. He had a couple of great throws yesterday. He really did.
Yeah. So the second half thing is definitely, and look, this is where, very simplistic way to look at it, but people talk about this all the time, right? It's like, who makes the halftime adjustments? Now, coaches will tell you, well, adjustments are happening series to series. Like, you're always making adjustments. Yeah, you have, like, a couple more minutes at halftime to talk about some stuff and have a little bit of time to digest, but adjustments are happening all the time. But still, from a coaching perspective, Todd Downing, you know, second halves, I mean, they've got to find a way to produce. They're not going to win enough games if they don't. And this is a team that traditionally in the last few years has been good in the fourth quarter in particular, with Derrick Henry leading the way.
Well, that's the thing, too, where the Titans are playing with a lead in this game. And in the past, we have seen that work out pretty well from them from the standpoint of Derrick Henry's running the ball and running the ball and running the ball and eventually kind of wear down the defense that way. That didn't really happen yesterday in the second half. They just didn't get a whole lot going. So maybe some concern there. But overall, I still think Derrick Henry, you walk out of there feeling pretty good about. Tannehill, I mean, the interception was a big mistake. You know, whether that was a mix-up between he and Woods, I don't know exactly what happened on that play. Like, we had a texter in earlier that said it looked like he wanted Woods to run a comeback route there, but the ball was
– and he rounded the route. It kind of looked like that.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of looked up at the ball. If that was going to be a comeback route, he put a lot on that ball. I know that. So, I don't know. I don't know what happened on that play. So, that's one maybe you chalk up to a miscommunication between he and Woods there. But all in all, I thought he was pretty good, made some big plays yesterday, and good to see him back with his jump finger roll celebration in the end zone for the touchdown.
That's right. He had the finger roll going. People liked it.
Yeah.
So the whole, like, fan base down on Tannehill thing's kind of not materializing, which is good for him. I mean, there's way bigger problems, you know, than him through three games. And, again, they just got to win. Robert Woods, good step forward. He looked fast,
he
I thought, and that was a good deal for them.
Is he going to be their punt returner now?
That was a good punt return.
Looked pretty good.
It was a good punt return, I guess. You know, I mean, Kyle Phillips, whenever he comes back, do you trust him? I mean, gosh, that's a big part of he was drafted. I know he was a drafted high. It's not like a Dory Jackson first-round pick who's going to also be a punt returner. But regardless, you get Phillips back in there, and then you got to get back on the Treylon Burks train. 1 week of kind of being invisible, got to make a play on that ball in the fourth quarter. But that's still, to me, a huge part of them having success and winning enough is getting 16 going.
615-737-1025. We'll take more of your thoughts on the Titans' offense yesterday against the Raiders. What did you think of Derrick Henry's performance? What did you think of Ryan Tannehill's performance as well? We open up our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. Tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight at 7:05 on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds take on the Memphis Redbirds, the AAA affiliate of the St. Louis Cardinals at First Horizon Park for their final homestand. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza and Farm Bureau Health Plans. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Monday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line and welcome in Angel from Clarksville. Angel, thanks for calling in.
Man, what's up, fellas? Good morning. First off, I just got two things. First off, tighten up, man. It's been damn near a year since we got a win. So driving into work today from Clarksville to Nashville is a really good feeling, man.
That's right.
And then second off, man, you guys said it before the break. Man, they got to get 16. They got to get trailing going. Man, it's crazy how if you have good running game, that usually opens up the passing game. But, man, there were some bright spots yesterday. Tannehill was throwing some straight zingers. Like, he got some zip sometimes on that rock. And if he can get the passing game going, then that's one of the rare opportunities where they can't load up the box and get Derrick going. Because once he finds his stride, man, we back on. So I'm going to hang up and listen, but tighten up, man. 1-2 never felt so good, man.
Hey, thanks for the call, Angel. We appreciate it. I mean, it is.
I like the sunshine.
It's a big win yesterday. Regardless of how you get it, it's important to get on the board. I do think what he brings up about Treylon Burks there, like, you know, one catch for 13 yards yesterday. He had the 8-yard run too, but it's one of those things where, you know, that ball, and I had some people arguing with me about this on Twitter too, like the ball wasn't great from Tannehill. He got hizzy through it. It was behind him. But, I mean, he's an NFL receiver and he got both hands on it. I don't know why he was jumping there either, but he was. But that's a different discussion. But he's got to catch that ball.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And again, if he does, then you got two catches. Let's see, how many times was he targeted? He was targeted. You got two catches on two targets for like 23 yards. Not a great day, but that might, you know, change the game. I mean, they probably don't have to deal with all that drama at the end. And yeah, it's just you gotta get him going. I do wanna. Highlight another text to along these lines from Jeff. One, basically, like, Simmons not getting it done, laughable, he's double-teamed. And I agree, Jeff. I mean, I don't think Simmons is a problem. I think Simmons is playing well. I do think Simmons can be more impactful. You know, but this idea, that he's a problem or something? No. I mean, just take a half or take a quarter and watch 98 every play. He's not a problem.
I'm not worried about that.
He's a problem for the other team, and they got to devote resources to him. But Jeff also says, enough from those, especially some big mouth radio host, don't know who that is, that continue to degrade the abilities of NWI. He has done nothing but improve every single week. I will say this. If you're talking about Jared, I don't know that you are. But I've heard Jared say, like, Cody Hollister is just as good as NWI. No, man. There's a reason NWI is a starter, and he actually can get open and make plays. Cody Hollister, nice story. They trust him. He's out there sometimes and blocks.
He does.
And actually does a nice job. He did a really nice job of flopping yesterday.
It was a great flop.
Yeah.
It was Oscar worthy.
But
especially
with
that hair.
Yes. But no, I mean, NWI is a solid receiver. He can make plays for you. And if they get to the point this year where Woods, playing like he did yesterday, pairs up with Treylon Burks, we know, we've seen enough to understand he's got ability to make plays on Sundays for a team. If you get to the point where those two are going and then NWI is your nice three, okay, that's a pretty good situation.
Oh, well, that's the thing.
You got to get it there.
Well, getting Woods, getting a game like that out of Woods yesterday, I thought it was a big deal. Four catches, 85 yards. You know, obviously a lot of that comes on the one play with the 41-yarder, but, I mean, he looked fast out there. He looked explosive, and, you know, nobody's ever going to confuse him for Tyreek Hill out there. I understand that, but being able to get that production and create some separation like he was able to yesterday, that's a pretty good sign moving forward.
Yeah. So now can you take that and then you take Burks, and can you get them both going with a better running game, which you started to work on yesterday, with decent protection, which I still have my questions about that.
Kyle Phillips working in the slot in there when he comes back.
And you get Kyle Phillips. And then, you know, a lot of questions of the Texan today along these lines too. And then the tight ends. I mean, everybody gets mad like when Jeff Swain makes a play. I swear it's like, why are you throwing him? It's like, well, he did just catch a touchdown pass. Is that okay?
Three targets, three catches for Swain yesterday. 19 yards.
He catches the ball for the most part.
He does.
But the Austin Hooper thing, I'm done saying I'm surprised by it. You know, I'm done. Like, there just isn't a lot out there for him right now in this offense.
So, he's got four catches in three games.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Now, if that were to change, then you take it up another tick with this offense. But right now, I don't see a lot of signs of it changing. They did, again, the key play in the game, they got him. Third and nine, they got him for 8 yards. Someone said that they thought the spot was bad. I don't know about that, but there's not much there for him right now.
Great onside kick recovery, though.
Absolutely.
Hands team.
Vrabel gave him the hug at the end. He shook Todd Downing's hand, hugged Austin Hooper, went out and said, sorry, Josh McDaniels, you're 0-3, buddy.
Austin from Clarksville on the text line says, do you think Josh Gordon will ever make plays for the Titans, or will he be another Randy Moss, Andre Johnson, Julio Jones type? I don't even know that I would put those in the same category.
No. Julio Jones still was like a viable player in the NFL last year. Not nearly what they thought they were getting, but
you got Josh Gordon because he didn't make somebody else's team.
Right. No, he absolutely belongs in the Moss Andre Johnson discussion. He barely made plays last year, and I understand Kansas City has a lot of different guys, but there's a pretty good offense making plays and didn't really do it for them. And so I think the whole Josh Gordon thing is he provides depth, and maybe at some point he'll catch a pass here or there. But
I'm not expecting much.
No.
Well, and like this is another example of like you hear the name, oh, it's Josh Gordon. Oh, well, go back and look at the numbers. Josh Gordon really hasn't been all that good in quite a while in the NFL.
I mean, hey, maybe, what's T.O. doing, you know? Incredible name.
He's still
an incredible
looks,
player.
Look,
he actually is in good shape.
He looks in great shape. You ask T.O., he can still run like a 4.440. So we'll see. Maybe it's worth taking a look at.
That's impressive.
615-737-1025. We had a text earlier, and I'm searching for it right now to give proper credit. But it brought up Caleb Farley and compared it to the Elijah Molden situation last year. Molden, as we remember, was in the game against Arizona to begin the season last year. Did not go overly well for him in that game. He got torched by Christian Kirk a couple of times. I think he was in there for a little bit against Seattle and then basically found his way onto the bench for the next couple of games and then came back in. I thought he had a good second half to his rookie season. Could that be maybe a similar path for Caleb Farley? What do you think of that idea, that comparison that was made on the text line? And I promise I will find it.
Yeah, it's a Stewart and Jackson.
There we go.
Stewart and Jackson with that question. I mean, look, it's a good thing to bring up. I feel like it's a little different because Molden was at the very beginning of his career. He was a rookie, and the Cardinals absolutely picked on him, got Kirk loose on him, and yeah, you know, he had some bad plays. I think I want to say Molden kind of I think he was forced back into action, right? Like somebody was hurt, yeah. Jenkins or Fulton, and he made a huge play, forced fumble against the Jags, right? And he kind of went off from there. Maybe it's something like that. It's like I don't think this is punitive, right? I mean, you're trying to win a football game. Like you put out whoever you can put out there to try to win a football game. I'd be shocked if like Farley, you know, was like not handling things, you know, however they want him to handle him in the building, like attitude wise, you know, that'd be shocking to me. I just think there's a trust issue right now, and obviously the Buffalo game played a big role in that. He is a classic example, like an extreme example, I think, of not taking the practice field to the game. Some people are great, you know, some people are better in games, right? He's a pretty good practice. I swear, he's like a starting quality cornerback in practice. But at some point, what does that matter if you're constantly just getting lost? And he was bad. It was bad against Buffalo.
It was.
I still say, like, there's too much there. He's not hurt, as far as I know. Like, there's too much there for this to continue. But I also continue to keep waiting for Austin Hooper to be part of the offense.
You imagine how good the Titans would be if, like, the practice Austin Hooper and practice Caleb Farley were out there?
Oh,
man.
What if they're going against each other?
Ooh, man.
Battle Royale. Just get everybody else, just take a seat.
That'd be something. 615-737-1025. We'll get back into the Titans coming up at 8 o'clock with Corey Curtis. Coming up next, a big win for the Tennessee Volunteers at home in Neyland Stadium against the Florida Gators. Joe Rexrode was there. We'll get his thoughts on Tennessee's big win against their arch rival coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexrode, 1025-1063, the game. I've been worried about this game all week. I think Tennessee's going to win. I think it's going to be very close. I think this is going to come down to the wire. I think Tennessee wins by like 3 in this game. So I will go Tennessee. I'll go Tennessee 38, Florida 35 in this game. 38-35.
So basically just add a touchdown to my final score.
Yeah,
all right.
There we go.
Okay. Man, it's kind of disappointing, this show. No one goes with the Vols.
I mean.
Pretty weak.
16 out of 17.
Almost nailed it on Pigskin Pick'em on Friday. 38-35 was the prediction. Tennessee wins 38-33 on Saturday against the Florida Gators.
And again, I was complaining because, you know, I'm on the field at this point. It's like over. You know, they score a touchdown. I'm like 38-28. Yes, I'm going to get an exact pick. But had he just kicked, you would have had possibly the exact pick, right?
Yeah.
And you also would have been sitting there nervously as the Gators tried to kick a field goal to send it to overtime.
Yes,
which is what they should have done, except Billy Napier can't do freaking math.
Robbie would have been the Bills OC.
Oh, yeah. I was the Bills OC a couple times during that game.
Oh, I bet.
We need live video, Robbie.
No, we don't.
If anybody hasn't seen Ken Dorsey's meltdown in the
the
coach's box yesterday, it's amazing. The best part of it is I don't know who the coach is. With the dome and the glasses.
Just looking at him
but
like.
He kind of doesn't want to look. He's like, oh, my God, what's going on over there? I'm just going to just keep looking straight ahead and just pretend not noticing that.
Between him going crazy and then the butt punt in that game, which we've not talked about yet, lots of stuff going on in that Bills-Miami game yesterday.
I know we're talking college football this segment, but also you had the butt punt, which I just saw a replay of the butt fumble, of course.
Yeah.
Mark Sanchez, but also Jimmy G. Did you see Orlovsky?
Pulling an Orlovsky? Yes.
I'm free. He's finally, we've had another a player who ran out of the back of the end zone dropping back.
Football is a beautiful thing.
Dan Orlovsky, Lions legend, and oh, are the Lions legendary. Yes. But we can talk about that later.
Vols win 38-33. I mean, it is a heck of a game at Neyland Stadium. You know, not a whole lot of plays made defensively. I mean, Anthony Richardson threw for 450 yards in that game. Hendon Hooker was sensational, I thought. 22 of 28, 342 yards, 2 touchdowns through the air. Also had 112 on the ground as well. And no Cedric Tillman for the Vols. Seemingly no problem. Brew McCoy was great in the game. I thought Jalen Hyatt was really good. And Ramel Keaton coming out of nowhere, making maybe one of the greatest catches I've ever seen in the history of Neyland Stadium in that game. Just pretty good stuff from that Tennessee offense, and that's a huge win for Josh Heupel and his program.
Huge. And, yeah, Hendon Hooker is – you know, you watch those two quarterbacks, they were the two best players in the field. So, first of all, and I know Vols fans said this a lot, how many tweets – did you and the rest of all Twitter send, of course Anthony Richardson's playing like this. Of course he is. But, man, let me tell you something. That dude is a dude, okay? Like, don't get it twisted. He was bad the previous 2 weeks, and there are issues. I'm sure he'll be up and down this year. That dude has a lot of ability. And yet he was not the better quarterback in the field. He was the better NFL prospect on the field, okay? Because he just has some gifts that, like, Hendon Hooker doesn't have, okay, in terms of throwing the football. But Hendon Hooker was the best player in the field, period, and Hendon Hooker should be a Heisman candidate right now.
I agree.
In fact, I filled out my little athletic Heisman poll yesterday, and he was in my top three right now. The runs that he makes at times are huge. And they're going to have that from him, especially in the bigger games. You sit there, watch it sometimes, like, you have to learn how to slide. You have to. But tell you what, he is – spectacular. And yesterday, I thought his sharpness throwing the ball was way beyond what we've seen this year. And without Tillman.
Yeah.
You know, that offense, yeah, like you said, Keaton, huge job coming in. Who was going to step up? We talked about it. It was clearly Keaton. But McCoy and Hyatt and the tight ends when they don't fumble. And also, shout out to Jabari Small, too. That kid said Monday he wasn't sure if, you know, he was even be able to play. He was all nervous, and he had a big-time performance too. Now, I will say for Hooker, he had about 90 free yards in that game. Like, he could have punted two of them to his receiver. Like, what? Well, you're not going to cover the guy?
The Brew McCoy play is just wide open, and then they hit one to Jacob Warren for 45 yards too.
Okay, thanks. I mean, how do you – there's some issues with the Gators here. But – what the Gators do have is they got a guy. Richardson is a freak, man.
Oh, he is. And I think there were some issues along with him making plays. I also thought there were some issues in the Tennessee secondary that, you know, when you start playing Ball State and Akron, you don't really think about a whole lot. But once you move into conference play, it's a little bit different. And they've got some issues in the secondary that they're going to have to get figured out. You know, they didn't do a great job at putting a lot of pressure on Richardson, but they did make some plays to that respect as well. So, you know, you made enough plays defensively, but, you know, I didn't come away from the game on Saturday thinking, oh, Tennessee's defense can be real good this year.
No. I mean, look, I think they got the job done that we talked about going in, which is you can't let their running game dictate the game. Yeah. I think for the most part they were pretty good there.
They were.
I think the linebackers played pretty well. I like him up front, like Amari Thomas. I mean, that, you know, huge. That's a big play in the game, punching that ball out from Richardson, because then you allow yourself to get separation. But the secondary is, it's tough, man. I mean, they just have to upgrade. And even really, like, across the board, corners and safeties, they just, when you go up against these better teams that you're going to play, you're going to have to just score a whole bunch of points. You know, Kamal Haddon, I thought, he's kind of been a breakout player this year. He got the pick at the end. He had a tough day. One of my favorite things, let's go back to Vol Twitter, is, and I got this in my mentions, oh, without Warren Burrell, I just don't know how we're going to, like,
oh, God.
All you do is complain about Warren Burrell. Come on now, folks. He didn't play. But they do, I mean, like, they need to keep pushing the, I still think Christian Charles can be a nice player. And, again, Haddon has been pretty good this year. Championship teams for Tennessee are going to have more talented secondaries.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. But then again, the quarterback play that you're watching right now, it's just – I know everybody's talking about, you know, Nico coming in and Joe Milton. Lots of talk about that. Hendon Hooker is a special guy right now. I mean, he's – you know, he gets hurt in the game. He's holding his left shoulder, kind of walking around out there, and you're thinking, is he going to be able to keep going? And then he does. He's the best player on the field, 22 of 28, 349 yards. I mean, the play he made, it was third down and I don't remember, 7 or 8. And it looks like he's about to be wrapped up in the backfield. And all of a sudden he escapes Houdini style and pulls off a 44-yard run. I mean, that was a special, special play. And he was awesome on Saturday. That was,
I was thinking about it. He's had some great performances, but given the stage, given the numbers, that's probably the best game of his career on Saturday. He was really, really good.
Yeah. Now, wait a minute. Now, that was that the one where he used Jacob Warren as a meat shield, or is that a different 44-yarder?
Yes. Yeah. I think it was.
No, he was, and you know, there were some moments. So if you go to the first half, especially now, the Keaton play was, wow, what touch on that ball, 43 yards. But the play before that, you know, the Gators are calling timeouts. And of course, they've been winning the first half, and Hooker is down on that one, and he gets out of it and somehow gets the ball to Fant in a tight window to move the chains. Huge play.
Yep.
With the Gators, so that flips it around. They're down right at that point, 14-10. That allows them to come down and make it 17-14. So, I mean, there was some sequences there with a lot of pressure on him that he came up huge.
Well, on the drive before the half, you drive the length of the field to score a touchdown. You get the ball back coming out. Jabari Small scores a touchdown on that play, on the receiving play there. I mean, it was just big plays and big moments. And it was also one of those things where you knew the environment would be great in Neyland Stadium. And it was, and I thought at times that was a factor in the game too. And you were there, you're in person, you can speak to it better than I can, but it seemed like one of those vintage Neyland Stadium atmospheres on Saturday.
Yeah, it was, you just won't find much better in college football than what that stadium was Saturday. You just won't. So, I always do that too. Like I'm on the sideline talking to, you know, especially people who have been around a long time. Okay, how's this one compare? And it's like, you know, you talk about like Oklahoma in 15, or we asked Josh Ward the other day, you know, there's some ones that stand out. This one will stand out too. They actually did a heck of a job of checkering Neyland Stadium. So they had the checkering Neyland Stadium. They had game day. None of these things caused any issues.
Well, Peyton wasn't there. So.
But Peyton wasn't there, as far as we know.
As far as we know.
What if he was there and he just didn't tell anybody?
He was hiding.
Maybe he was.
That's what he should – what he should do is he should just tell people he was there.
Yeah.
He should say, actually, folks, I was in – it was like Eli faked being a walk-on at Penn State. Yeah. Peyton faked being like a Florida fan.
Yeah.
See, the jinx is over. Peyton can come to games
That's
again.
That's right. Big win for the Vols. You know, I thought – we knew that Brew McCoy was going to have a big game. Obviously, the big play that he had, the 70-yarder, is the main thing that stands out. But, you know, a big touchdown catch. He had some huge catches in the game. Brew McCoy, he's pretty solid find for Josh Heupel when it comes to the transfer portal.
Yeah, and sitting there watching, you almost forgot, you know, on the sideline at the end of the game, because Tillman, I think, must have been watching just like in the locker room, like watching on TV. He wasn't really on the sideline, I think, a lot of the game, but he walked out of the tunnel when it looked like it was over, and then it wasn't over. And you almost forgot. You're like, oh, that's right. Their best receiver, one of the best receivers in college football, was not part of this game, and fine. So now you get extra time. You get a nice week off. You're sitting there in the top 10. You're undefeated, and you get to prepare for LSU, which I think we'll find out today is going to be, I assume, a prime time. Could it be the 3:30, though?
I'd have to look at the rest of the slate that weekend, but it could be. It could be.
Usually you just expect it to be primetime. But either way, Tennessee's better than LSU. Like, they're better than Florida. They're better than LSU. So you just keep building.
But are they better than Kentucky?
Well, I don't know.
Northern Illinois was almost better than Kentucky.
Oh,
on Saturday, so
okay.
Probably,
goodness.
Yeah.
Listen, let's relax. People were tweeting at me. I'm like, it's halftime. Stop.
By the way, real quick, then we get a break, but you had a tweet that I think is a problematic tweet, Michelle. You had a tweet that was like, I don't have it in front of me. Like, congratulations, it's now only 16 of 18, right? Something like that. So if Kentucky beats Tennessee, you're going to tweet the same thing?
That's it. Kentucky has lost.
Like, enjoy the win.
Think about the amount of times combined that Kentucky has lost to Florida and Tennessee in the last 40 years. Just think about it.
It's a lot.
I don't know what the number is.
Listen, I wasn't alive then, so I don't care.
Let's say it's 80 meetings. Well, take your lifetime. It's still overwhelming. It's just, let's say it's 80 meetings.
Before
Tennessee
you
and
even
Florida
cared.
Have probably won like 72 out of 80 combined.
I only started caring in 2015 when I became a student there.
No, okay.
So all let's right. just look at 2015 and on. Okay.
Maybe you actually ushered in this era.
Maybe so.
Yeah, but the basketball team's been pretty crappy since then. So
the Michelle Knezevic era.
of Kentucky football. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll have the Rob Rant. Looking forward to this one. There was a big part of the game Saturday that drove me nuts as I was watching it. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN, 1025 The Game, and the Game Nashville app.
When I was born, lived the man who sailed to sea, and he told us of his life.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rob Rant, here on 1025, 1063 The Game. You check out our rants every morning at 7:45 here on the program. I think we may have found a Beatles song that bothers Joe Rexler more than it bothers me. That's pretty difficult to do.
I mean, I love you, Ringo, but whew, not one of his better efforts.
I kind of like it.
Yeah?
I'm glad you do. Oh, boy. You know, we were discussing Tennessee and Florida. There was one part of this game, Joe, that just was driving me nuts, and it was probably due to the state of mind I was in watching the game in terms of just a nervous wreck left and right. Look, I'm all for, especially at the college level, you're going to have officials that make mistakes, and it's going to happen on a pretty regular basis. And we've talked about this before when it relates to college officials. You know, some of it, I mean, is they're not full-time employees, and they're off doing other stuff, and all that, we understand that. There's going to be officials at every level that mess things up, and I think it's certainly fair to expect that it happens more at the college level than it does at the pro level. But I was watching this game Saturday, and I was wondering if I needed to go get my eyes checked, because there were two plays in particular that stand out to me that I don't have an explanation for how, number one, they weren't called correctly on the field. And in one case, number two, how it still wasn't called correctly after they went to review. So the first one was the Anthony Richardson quarterback sneak for Florida. The guy was a yard and a half into the end zone. I mean, it was not close. And he was ruled down on the field at the one. And they go back and review it and take like 5 minutes reviewing this thing.
Ugh.
I'm like, dude. He's a yard and a half deep into the end zone. It's a touchdown. Let's move on. Let's go. And then shortly after that, matter of fact, it may have been the next drive for Tennessee.
I think it was.
Jabari Small is about a half yard into the end zone for a touchdown. He's ruled down on the field. I thought, oh, God, here we go again. Just a terrible call. But they'll go review it, and then they'll reverse it, and then we can all move on with our lives. Well, somehow they go review it. They look at it. Everybody with a pair of eyes can see he's in the end zone with the football. Matter of fact, CBS frees the play, and you could see Jabari Small with the football on the goal line. It's like, okay, well, he's in the end zone. And they come back and rule him short, and he's down, and he scores on the next play. And I was telling somebody this. Like, Jabari Small scored on the next play. I think he was less in on the play that he scored on than he was the play before that they called a touchdown. So I get it. Mistakes are going to happen. But – these clear and obvious plays that referees are just missing and then we're going to review, the games take forever in college football anyway. Let's try to limit the reviews. Let's try to have fewer reviews out there. That would be great. The Richardson one, I think, was more egregious. I mean, the guy was literally almost 2 yards deep in the end zone, but both of them were bad, and that's got to stop moving forward. The pace of play, like the length of a college football game, is already a problem. Let's not add to it by continuing to miss completely obvious calls on the goal line, please. And there were a couple of them on Saturday.
I mean, and it's just, this is already a long game. Yeah, college football has a serious issue with game times. They've tried some things, but this is a big part of the answer. Like, reviewing, one, like you said, make the obvious call, but then also there were, what, probably, what, three, four other reviews in this game, and a couple of them just stuff that I don't care about, like five-yard gains. I mean, it's just – it's mind-numbing. And, yes, it goes back to what we talk about all the time. You know, it's – there's money coming out of everybody's ears in college sports, but let's pay $1,500 per ref to get, you know, mediocre officiating when they have a massive impact on the outcome of these games. And now – You don't pay them enough. You don't give them a full-time job with benefits. Guess who'd like to give them some money to affect games?
Yeah. I mean, that's a thing you got to be cognizant of. I mean, on the Jabari Small play, like they're about to run another play, and it's about to be a delay of game because I guess the Vols are just sitting there waiting like, hey, are y'all gonna take a look at this or gonna challenge it or what? Eventually, Heupel calls a timeout, which, by the way, that could have been costly for Tennessee later in the game, but it didn't end up being that way, but – I couldn't believe that play wasn't a touchdown anyway. It ultimately, I guess, doesn't matter because they got in on the next play. But, I mean, the amount of time they spent looking at that Jabari Small play and then the Anthony Richardson play where he's 2 yards deep in the end zone on a quarterback sneak, I was like, what are we doing here? The Anthony Richardson
play. Anthony Richardson just about, like, went through the back of the end zone.
Well, like, I could listen to an argument. I don't buy it, but I could listen to an argument on the Jabari Small play where there's a lot of bodies and you just couldn't see it.
Can't see the ball.
Okay. Yeah. So I can listen to that. Now, having looked at the replay, it's pretty clear.
I think so, too.
I could certainly listen to you missing that in real time. The Anthony Richardson one, I have no clue how you missed that in real time. Like, you're the officials, you're staring right down the goal line, and Anthony Richardson, like, the front part of his body's in the checkerboard. And you're like, okay, is that not a touchdown? What are we doing here? It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Chad from Nashville. Chad, what's going on?
Hey, this isn't a great topic, and what may seem like not a huge deal, I think is massive. It's kind of like a parallel to our society of where we say there's no more common sense. And it's reviews and sports. This game, a great, how to do this process quicker. Well, it's almost insanity. And, I mean, you can even take it to the NFL. You have these 65, 70-year-old referees. We decide we're going to review. Is it really a good system? Now we're going to take the time. Now we're going to run them off the field. We're going to run them into a box. I mean, it's just insanity. When you're watching a game and you go through a review process, why can't we just have a guy in the booth who's in charge of the review who makes the call ASAP? How many times we all knew, like when you're talking about the Richardson, everybody in the world knows it's a touchdown. We can't have a guy in the booth within 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35 seconds and has the authority to send it down and say, okay, it's a touchdown. Like you say, let's move on and figure out what we're doing with this review process and why we need to take 5 to 10 to 15 minutes per review. It makes zero sense.
Hey, thanks for the call, Chad. I mean, that is the thing. Like,
I agree.
You could all you had to do was take one look at that Anthony Richardson play. Like, oh yeah, he's in. Okay, touchdown. Buzz that thing down. Let's move on.
And remember, they used to have it where it's just the official up in the booth.
Yeah,
I think that might have been faster too. But either way, even that has been like, okay. If the call on the field is not clearly one look, it's wrong. It stands.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do. And I totally agree. Some of these are so obvious. It's like, how could – you don't need 4 or 5. Like, there must be some, like, unwritten rule where, let's look at all the angles. Dude, if it's obvious, we all see it now. Call it in. Over. Move. It's infuriating. It's a chorus of voices joining you today.
It was quite something to watch. And the bad calls make it – frustrating, but I guess I can live with bad calls a little bit at the end of the day. But it's just the how long it takes for no reason was just unbelievable to me. 615-737-1025. This has been the Rob Rant. You can check out our rants every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Coming up next, We'll be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and their big win against the Raiders yesterday as well. It is Preds Game Day, brought to you by Social Furniture. Shop today to get rewarded with social cash back. Buy $1,000, get $125 cash back on your Social Furniture gift card. Shop local, shop social in West Nashville. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.